Unfiltered.
Broadcasting live from West Wichita in the KQAM studios. It's time for your weekend kickstart with Wichita's number one conservative talk radio host. This is Kansas Talk with Andy Hoosier.
Is it that time again? I think so. Hey, welcome into it. What's up? Welcome in. Happy Saturday morning on Kansas Talk, Wichita's Big Talker, KQAM, 1480 on the AM dial, 99.7 HD4. If you have that smart radio, you can listen to us in high definition there. Also, our friends out in Garden City, Kansas as well. So great to have you with us for another Saturday. You've made it to another weekend. Pat yourself on the back, and we are 1 week away from Easter. Yeah, put that into perspective for you. We're already an entire quarter into 2024. That makes my brain hurt a little bit. So great to have you with us as you continue to join us here every single Saturday morning. 316-721-8255. 316-721-TALK on the Maximum Outdoor Equipment Hotlines. We'd love to hear from you. We have a lot to get to today. Bottom of this hour, we will get a legislative update, which we have not done in a couple of weeks on this program. So State Representative Patrick Penn, he'll be joining us here in just a bit to give us an update and a lot of things going on in Topeka right now at the legislative session. Hour number two, we will have a couple special guests. Todd Starnes, we chatted with him just a couple days ago as he has officially released his Twilight's Last Gleaming book, and he's on his book tour. We'll chat with Todd Starnes. I'll play that interview in its entirety. I played the interview a couple days ago on The Voice of Reason, and was only able to actually do a portion of it because it was a little bit longer. So we'll play that interview in its entirety and get you set for our big promotion, our KQAM election rally that's coming up in, oh, I don't know, about a month from now, 3 weeks from now. It's coming up soon, so if you don't have your tickets yet, I don't know what you're waiting for, because it's going to be a great one as we are partnering with Americans for Prosperity. Todd Starnes will be out for his book tour. We'll also have another great guest speaker. I'll be moderating it. You'll get a dinner. You can do the meet and greet with Todd. You can get a copy of his book. It's going to be fantastic. So we'll have some more information on that here momentarily, and we'll chat with Todd Starnes coming up in hour number two. Also, Jason Nelson, he's with a prepper company, and we'll talk about the cattle industry, the meat market, prices of meat, the prices of agriculture, regulations on the industry, and a heck of a lot more. So, yeah, it's fully loaded up, but it's open lines to you right now at 316-721-8255 if you want to jump on here. Big week that we've had here in the state of Kansas, obviously, because we have a legislative session where Governor Laura Kelly losing her mind over a couple different issues. She's been busy on the Tweety the last few days, which is definitely fun to watch. So we'll cover that in a moment, but I have to ask you the question, did you show up to vote and the presidential preference primary in the state of Kansas on Tuesday? Did you show up and actually make your voice heard and vote in that election? Apparently, it was a relatively low voter turnout, only roughly 8% of the entire registered voter group, registered voters in the state of Kansas actually turned out to vote on Tuesday this week, including early voting leading up to the Super Tuesday, our Super Tuesday that we had here with the presidential preference primary, the third one that happened across the nation. Now, with only 8% of voters turning out, there's a couple different reasons for that, at least in my opinion. According to the Secretary of State's office, the Secretary of State says that it's because, well, it might have been confusing, kind of an off time of the year. People weren't really prepared for it. They didn't know what was going on. It was very confused. I don't agree with that. I mean, maybe that happened a little bit. Maybe that could be. But I highly doubt it. If people are halfway paying attention to what's going on in the presidential primary, then they know when the election actually is. And whether it's the caucus that's being held by the actual party or it's the Secretary of State's office that's actually hosting the actual election, I don't know if that necessarily makes a difference to the average voter that's just going to the polling place and making their voice heard. Honestly, the fact that only 8% of voter turnout happened in Kansas is really, in my opinion, because we already have our presumptive nominees and it didn't really matter. It wasn't that big of a difference. Joe Biden obviously won for the Democrats. Donald Trump obviously won for the Republicans. We had a few Republican voter holdouts that didn't want to vote for Donald Trump that voted for the other candidates. And then that was it. And he won by an overwhelming majority. Joe Biden, by the way, for the official result, or I'm sorry, unofficial results right now, according to the Secretary of State's office, we had Joe Biden win the Democrat nomination here in Kansas with 84% of the vote, coming in at near 35,000 votes overall, where I believe it was 9% of the Democrat voter turnout for this election. The interesting one was that it was 10% of none of the names, because there were four candidates on the ballot for the Democrats. Joe Biden obviously won with 84%, but Marion Williamson, the interesting odd fellow in the race, ended up pulling 3% of that vote, with 1% going to Jason Palmer and Dean Phillips. I haven't even heard of those names at all. But 10%, over 4,000 votes went to none. So I think there's still a holdout for the Bernie Sanders types here in the Wichita area. And some of the socialists, if you remember, Bernie Sanders has a bit of a following in this area. When James Thompson was running in the congressional race against Ron Estes, he held an AOC and Bernie Sanders rally and had a decent turnout. So I think they're the radical socialists here in the Wichita area, maybe up in the Kansas City area, that are just refusing to vote for Joe Biden, maybe for fill in the blank purpose for whatever reason. He's not far enough on environmental issues. He's not standing for Palestine enough, whatever the case may be. But actually had 10% of the vote that voted for nobody on that ticket. Now, the Republican side, with our Republican voter turnout, showed Donald Trump obviously won 76% of the vote at over 71,000 votes. Nikki Haley coming in at 16%, Ron DeSantis at 3%, and Ryan Binkley at 1%, with 5% going to nobody. Obviously, there's still some Donald Trump holdouts. Nikki Haley coming in with just over 15,000 votes at 16% of that voter turnout. That is, I guess, about normal of what we've seen with some of the other states, but it is still kind of sad that we haven't seen the unification of the Republicans the way we need to. But did you make your voice heard, and did it really matter on this one? I mean, obviously, Donald Trump got the delegates, but he's already the presumptive nominee. And did you spend the time to go out and vote? By the way, real quickly, the numbers in Sedgwick County particularly, they were really similar to what we've seen for the entire state, just on a lower scale. Donald Trump won 74% of the vote here in Sedgwick County. Joe Biden won 84% within Sedgwick County. So overall, they were still pretty similar comparative to what we had seen statewide. So there you got it. I mean, we had our vote. Now we have the next election coming up in August for our primaries for our candidates here in the state of Kansas, going into the November general election. But was it a big deal for you? Did you actually turn out to vote earlier this week and make your voice heard? Interesting to see. Plus, we got some big news coming out of the legislature. We have our Medicaid expansion panel and committee that ended up conversing this week, and that one getting shot down pretty quickly. So, yeah, Laura Kelly, not very happy about the turnout on that. She was pretty fired up, and she was very active on the Tweety throughout this week about taxes and about Medicaid expansion and her pushing her agenda that doesn't seem to be going anywhere. So she's not very happy right now, I can assume. But the lines are lit up. Let's go right to you here, shall we? 316-721-8255 on these Maximum Outdoor Equipment hotlines. Line number one. Good morning. Who's this?
I'm fixing to frack them up, Andy.
Hey, there it is. What's happening, Sean? How you doing? Did you show up to vote this week?
Yeah, before I get to that, you're not going to believe this.
Okay.
A famous San Francisco police inspector we all knew and loved, Dirty Harry Callahan.
Okay.
He's now Dirty Harriet Callahan. Mm. Who knew, Andy?
Who knew? Who knew that one? That's right. Hey, but it's 2024, so what do you expect? I wouldn't expect anything different.
Yeah. Well, anyway, almost forgot to vote.
I almost forgot to vote.
I don't remember how long I had my mail-in ballot before I finally remembered to fill it out, and then I kept remembering to drop it off. But I dropped it off at my designated polling spot.
Okay.
Over at West High School for some reason, and a little after 8 o'clock, and I just went and put it in the ballot box, and there wasn't anybody in there but about 5 poll workers. That was it, man, when I went in there.
Well, I guess the good news is that it was a good practice for our new election commissioner and for everybody volunteering to run the polling places to where it wasn't overwhelming for the first time. I know that our election commissioner here in Sedgwick County is working on expanding more polling places, obviously, for the upcoming election. So this is a good tester, And while obviously with the presumptive nominees we already have and meeting the threshold to become the nominees, it wasn't as important, but it's still nice to get out and vote and just make those feel goods happen and show our support. So I'm curious to see the difference in ratio between Donald Trump's Republican support in this election with such a low voter turnout, which it was 10% of Republicans that showed up, compared to what we're going to see in November when it's actually the big election that really does matter, really more so than the other ones right now.
Well, to begin with, I almost didn't vote. I thought about it for a second. And then I decided there was something on my bottom of my conscience that told me that if I didn't vote, you know, it was there's a name, Andy Hoosier, ring a bell to you?
That guy. See, I'm getting to you psychologically. I'm getting to you. Gotta remind you, put that bug in the ear of, hey, it's really important to do this.
What I don't understand is, you know, once it was all said and done, I checked the election results on my Eyeball News 12 app, and I saw those results. I couldn't believe the number of people that voted for Nikki Haley, and, you know, she's not even in the race. I mean, it's just throwing votes away.
Well,
but I knew Trump was going to get it.
Yeah, Trump was going to get it, but that was the big question, is how many people were going to turn away, which it was a somewhat decent amount for the low voter turnout and for the few. I mean, there were total 94,000 Republican votes that were cast in the state. So it was relatively small compared to the 1.8, 1.9 million registered voters we have in the state of Kansas overall. So it was relatively small, but yes, comparatively and ratio wise, it is interesting to see 16% of the votes that turned out for Nikki Haley. Now, again, that could be all of the Nikki Haley voters in the state total, because, you know, they wanted to really make their stand. They wanted to make their voice heard. They wanted to really, you know, just gun it to Donald Trump, because they won't have the opportunity to do that in November. So they really wanted to make their voice heard here. So that could be all of them. So when we see a million votes for Donald Trump in November and still only 15,000 for Nikki Haley, it's going to look vastly different. But for this one, it's expected, because they really, really wanted to make sure that, hey, I don't like Donald Trump. I don't want to vote for Donald Trump. I really wish Nikki Haley was still in the race. And I was curious to see what that number would look like.
Well, yeah, me too. Over 15,000 votes. You know, some of them could have been independents. You know, there are those in Kansas. I just don't know how many. I think they call them unaffiliated voters here in Kansas. But another question I got for you, because my history on this is, I don't remember ever hearing of a preference primary before in this state, although I heard a little while ago that it happened before. I just forget how many years ago it was.
Yeah, it was the early 90s. I tell you what, John, we got to take a break here. Hold on the line, and we'll get to you. We got some other calls as well, but I'm late on a break here, so hold that thought. We'll do that when we come back. 316-721-8255 on the Maximum Outdoor Equipment Hotlines. We got lots to get to today here on Kansas Talk, recovering from the presidential preference primary, and then, of course, what's going on in the legislature. Patrick Penn will be joining us here in just a little bit as we talk about the failed Medicaid expansion and the angry Governor Laura Kelly up in Topeka right now. Lots more coming up. Stay here. Minutes past the hour. Welcome back into it. Kansas Talk, Wichita's Big Talker, KQAM, our friends out in Garden City as well. I want to hear from you guys out on the western portion of the state on whether you voted or not. Turned out to the presidential preference primaries, 316-721-8255. Sean, we got a couple minutes here. You said you had a question for me. What is that question?
Well, let me see. Wasn't that it? The primary?
The primary?
I mean, what is the difference between a primary and the normal caucus we have around here, whatever they call it?
Yeah,
I can't even remember.
Yeah. So yeah, the close caucus. So the difference is the caucus is actually run and paid for and hosted by the individual parties. So the Republican Party actually funds the caucus. They're the ones that put it on. They're the ones that organize the ballot. You have to be a registered Republican to actually go and vote for it. They're the ones that pay for the poll workers. They're the ones that actually make the polling locations. The parties themselves, Republican Party, Democrat parties, they're the ones that do it. The Secretary of State's office does nothing except for assist in whatever way they can. In the actual primary, it's like our general election, where the Secretary of State's office is the one that actually hosts and organizes it, and they're the ones that actually put it on. So the parties essentially have nothing to do with it other than just tell their voters, their registered voters and their parties, to actually go out and vote. So that's really the big difference. The primaries have a little bit different rules to where, yes, as independents or unaffiliated, so that you can go in and you can choose to vote on a Republican or Democrat ballot as opposed to a closed caucus, then you have to be a part of that registered party in order to go and vote for that ballot. That's at least in the state of Kansas. Other states have open caucuses to where anybody, whether you're an unaffiliated, independent, whatever, then you can still go in and vote and make your voice heard. So it's just really who's hosting and who's actually organizing the election. And I will tell you right now that with the broken state Republican Party that we have, the major reason that we have the Secretary of State's office actually doing the primary this year, which has only been done three times now, the last one happening in the early 90s, was because the state Republican Party just doesn't have the money to do it. Our new state chairman, Mike Brown, that took over after Mike Kuckelman, said that he was going to go into the end of last year in 2023 with $2 million in the Republican coffers to get ready for election season. And in fact, because of how poorly our state Republican party has been running things right now, we're actually $7,000 in the hole. So we don't have any money to host a caucus. So both parties and the Democrats don't have any money either, because there's not a lot of support for the Democrats in Kansas overall. So both of them went to the Secretary of State's office and actually asked Scott Schwab to host the election because, well, they just didn't have the funds or the resources to make it happen for this year. I don't know whether we're going to keep this process. I don't know whether we're going to go back to a caucus. Again, being that it hasn't happened very frequently here in the state, it's going to be interesting to see how we move forward. But we can kind of assess this election and see how well or how productive or how efficient this one actually ran. So that's a great question, though. And I'm glad that we are looking at the difference between the two and understanding what's going on and realizing that our party right now is in shambles and that Scott Schwab, our Secretary of State, is the one that kind of picked up the mantle and ran with it on this one. So I want to get some other callers, Scott, but I appreciate, Sean, I appreciate that very much, brother. And good to talk to you. Let's go back to it. Line number two. Good morning. Who's this?
This is Frederick.
Frederick, how are you, sir?
I'm fine. And yes, I did vote, although I thought it was I didn't have anything else to do. So I did vote. But what I did want to say is in your morning, you have Sam Speck and Stephanie Austin now.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Whoa, you know what? I turned on like I normally do, and I heard them, and I thought, wow, I really like that Sam Speck. I mean,
Sam
I think the kid's only in his 20s, isn't he, or something like that?
He's right about my age, I think a little bit younger, but he is outstanding. So fun story with Sam Speck is that Sam was with us a few years ago, and he was our ag director as well with the Mid-America Ag Network, and he still is now, too, so you hear him on the ag reports throughout the day. But he was with us a few years ago, and he actually went to the exact same broadcasting school that I did in Denver. And he was a year or two behind me when he went through it, but he is an outstanding radio broadcaster. He is our ag director, so he does the markets and the ag reports. He is highly involved with the sports station as well and is a fantastic play-by-play caller as well for some of the play-by-play on high school football and basketball and baseball and everything else of the sort. And he's just an all-around, I mean, coming through the broadcasting school like I did, I mean, he's just an all-around radio guy, and he wanted to jump in this morning show and liven it up and just get things kicked off, and he's doing a fantastic job. I'm with you. I absolutely love hearing it in the morning, and so glad that Sam's able to jump on. Between him and Stephanie, they rock it in the mornings with Wake Up Wichita.
You know what? I really, really like the guy. You know what? He's one of the best male news individuals in the morning, yes. Yeah. But I remember when Stephanie Austin and you used to have a morning program about 10 years ago.
We actually had the middays. We did from noon to 2. We did the middle of the day together for a while.
I see.
Yeah, yeah, and she's great, and it's good to have Stephanie back. I know that she went away for a while. We, unfortunately, during the whole COVID shenanigans, we had to do some cuts with some of the staff, and she was one that we were so sad to see let go. So when she was available again, we had to snag her up and bring her back, and she's doing the news again with us. She's obviously on the morning show. She's also doing some stuff on our Hank station, 99.7 Hank FM. She's doing the afternoon from 3 to 6 over there as well. So you can hear her on Hank FM with some of the classic country. And then, yeah, she's just all around. So we are so excited about our new lineup with Wake Up Wichita with Sam and Stephanie. They are doing a fantastic job.
Yeah, yes, they are. I'm just curious. So Sam Speck, he's an agricultural reporter, right?
He is. Yeah, he's our ag director.
Now, is he the one that nominated you for your Golden Cow Award about 4 years ago?
You know, that's right. I forgot all about that. I think so. I think so. I think he's the one that did that nomination.
Yes. Yes, I do remember the dear old conservative radio host standing up there and receiving the Golden Cow Award.
The Golden Cow
for
Award.
Agriculture reporting.
I love it. I love it. Frederick, I hate to cut you off. I got a hard break here, but yeah, you're right. I am so glad. Thank you for bringing that up. Welcome Sam Speck back to the airwaves, hosting this morning show, along with Stephanie Austin. They do a fantastic job together. Lots more coming up here on Kansas Talk. Stay right here.
Tell him he's wrong at 316-721-TALK. This is Kansas Talk with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. Welcome back into it. It is Kansas Talk, Wichita's big talker, KQAM. You can tell me I'm wrong. That's funny. I'm joking. I'd love to hear from you. 316-721-8255 on the Maximum Outdoor Equipment Hotlines. Hey, by the way, I just got confirmation for the national broadcast of The Voice of Reason coming up, which you can always hear on KQAM here at 5 p.m. on Sundays, but I actually do the show this afternoon. I will be having Congressman Ron Estes on the program from right here in the 4th District, as he is on the Ways and Means Committee after the big vote on the budget bill that passed the House yesterday. We're going to have him on to talk about that bill and kind of the details of it, how it worked its way through. So that'll be a great conversation. So don't miss the national broadcast of The Voice of Reason, again, coming up here on the KQAM Airwaves, and our friends out in KIUL in Garden City, which we're on right now, too, that you can pick that up at 5 p.m. on Sunday. And looking forward to that chat coming up with Congressman Ron Estes. Just a little tease for you of some of the other good stuff and cool stuff we have going on for sure. We got some other calls on the line. Hang tight. We'll get to all of you here momentarily, but I want to shift gears a little bit and get to our legislative update. A lot of things going on this week. We had a Medicaid expansion committee, which was hilarious to watch because we knew what the outcome of that was going to be, and the Democrats losing their minds that they're not getting their Medicaid expansion all over again.
We're all going to die because of you!
In fact, Kansas Governor Laura Kelly, she was all kinds of worked up on the Tweety earlier this week where she talked about taxes, which was hilarious. Yesterday, she made a comment, "We need to deliver tax relief for all Kansans this year. That's why I proposed this to a sustainable bipartisan plan that puts money back in Kansas's pockets without threatening our solid fiscal foundation. Let's come together to deliver relief for hardworking Kansans." She should have signed a tax bill. I'm just kind of throwing that out there. Then, of course, what was it, yesterday as well? Oh, yeah, she was busy yesterday. Look at that. More than 80% of Kansas small business owners support expanding Medicaid. They know that keeping our workforce healthy is a necessity for our economy. Let's expand Medicaid to support our workers and businesses. And did it work out for them? Not so much. Not so much. Talk about some of that and so much more. What's going on in the legislature? Happy to have back on the program. Been a little bit since we've chatted with him from right here in the Wichita area, State Representative Patrick Penn. Pat, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
What's going on, Andy? How you doing? All of your reasonable listeners on the Voice of Reason.
Dang straight. Well, it's always good to talk to you, man. And what a week. We haven't talked about some of the big legislative issues the last week or so, and there's some stuff piling up. I mean, the Medicaid expansion was expected with how it was going to fail. I just find it hilarious that the governor continues to focus on that and tax cuts while she vetoes a tax bill. Like, what is she doing? I don't understand her thought process here.
Well, you're one of many who have now understood that being a Democrat is a mental health issue. The bottom line up front is Medicare expansion does not help our hospitals. The data does show that it's been a huge negative for those states that have refused expansion. And those ones that have refused it, they should continue to do so. We even see that some states that have done expansion, they are actually rolling it back because of the numbers and the negative impact to their bottom line. Yeah. So Kansas is doing well by not joining into the fray and doing something that's detrimental to our entire economy.
Yeah, it would be a complete devastation, and it wouldn't help save the rural hospitals like they try to tell us. It wouldn't really help individuals on that need it just because they're low income, because we already don't have a lot of doctors and practitioners that are actually accepting it Medicaid right now. So it would just burden down that system and create a longer list from the people that, I don't know, actually need the program.
It absolutely does. And we've heard from many of those who are in that space and some received briefings. And the bottom line up front is, if you want to throw Granny off a cliff in her little wheelchair, do Medicaid expansion. Because we've seen where the people who would get to the front of the pack, the front of the line, are not your elderly, are not your infirm, are not those who are most in need who are sitting on the rolls right now. It's not even the kids. Yeah. It's like, you know, I don't know, 24, 32-year-old dudes playing hacky sacks with man buns. Those guys get to the front of the line.
Well, you know what? By golly, they need their hair products. And I guess I can't say anything because I'm honestly rocking the semi-hair, a man bun right now with my long hair. So I guess I can't really say anything myself, but by golly, I already have my hair product, so I'm good to go.
Brother, you all right with me. I tell you what, the Medicaid expansion hearing, we, you know, for a while we haven't heard on the topic. The governor wanted to make a big hoopla about it, so we said, fine, we'll call your bluff. We will do a hearing on it because, you know, the Kansas people want to hear about it, and you know, maybe that won't be so bad. But yeah. When we did the hearing, right, so we just wanted to make sure that we give them a chance to have legitimate concerns and air it, because people don't hear both sides of the issue. So the speaker gave them the opportunity to have that hearing, and they did it also in the Senate as well. And the bottom line up front, as you said, it was a lot of crying, tears, wailing, gnashing of teeth, but you do not talk about the bottom line. The bottom line up front is, your enrollment will far exceed your projections. Your cost overruns are going to be huge. And that there's a 7 to 11% decrease in workforce because people are sitting on the public dole with their hacky sacks and chilling.
Yeah. Yeah, it is pretty wild. Well, I'm glad that we did the due diligence. We had the committee, we had the hearing, we talked to individuals, and then we shut it down because we realized it's not going to be beneficial. I know that the other side, of course, tried to pack the room with all of their advocates trying to do their wailing and crying and freaking out and everybody. So, but yeah, we did our thing, and obviously it's not going to go anywhere right now, and rightfully so, because of how bad this is. Last time we had talked, and as we went through this whole tax issue, with the governor vetoing the tax bill, us not being able to override that veto, I know that there were talks about trying another tax bill before the end of the legislative session. And with her still advocating for some type of tax relief in the state, which is needed, where are we? Have you heard anything more on another tax bill? And are we going to move forward with something?
Oh, absolutely. And we have about 24 bills coming up on Monday morning that we've already heard and gotten across to the House floor. So in the House, we'll be doing about 24 of those on Monday morning. But just go back to the tax piece. Yes, we have an awesome, awesome tax chair. Representative Adam Smith has been working closely. He had a plan B because we saw what was happening with the votes. The votes just weren't there. We really wanted to get that override on the single rate, which was actually dual rate. It was a zero for those who were at the poverty line. And we also had the other rate of 5.25. But he had a plan B already cooking. And this is the one that we have already taken hold of. And what it does is we take those three tax brackets that we already have, we collapse them down into two, and also keep that zero tax bracket for those who are low income. So we go ahead and make that happen. Some of the other things that we do in this particular bill, since Governor Kelly loves to veto tax bills and then cry about she needs tax relief, well, the Republicans are laser focused on making sure that we have better health care, that we have better taxation in the landscape, when we're talking about property tax, income tax, and sales tax. So with this new Republican plan that we have out here, Andy, we're going to give substantial property tax relief, shaving off 2 mils off of the total 20 that the state gets. And that's about $80,000 in revenue for your of your home value. So the LAVTR, which is a slush fund that's been sitting out there that a lot of the municipalities like to use, roughly about $80,000. We already include that in our tax plan, so we go ahead and get rid of that altogether. We put the, as I said, we put those three tax brackets down to two. We eliminate the tax on the lowest tier of the income earners. So there's our income tax piece that we're talking about. We want to make sure that it's competitive to our surrounding states. It's not the best that we can do because Governor Kelly vetoes us, and we have too many people that want to go with the governor on both sides of the aisle. But this is our next hit on it. So we want to make sure that we get this thing in. And I think we have a lot of support because the leadership has listened to the members and said, hey, let's bring some substantial tax relief to the middle class so that we can get rid of Joe Biden's, you know, the Bidenflation and the middle class tax squeeze that he, Kamala Harris, and their allies here in Kansas love to do for the Democrat Party.
Hey, man, let's take a step back for just a moment and look at this at a wider range. Isn't it ironic? And you not only being an elected official as a state rep, but also as the vice chair for the county Republican Party and showing the inner workings of how some of the politics work. Isn't it ironic that at the national level, we have Joe Biden out there now trying to run his campaign on immigration, saying that he's tougher on immigration than what Donald Trump is because he wants a bill that can actually allow him to shut down the border and all this garbage. And we know it's a lie, but we realize they have to campaign almost on conservative principles to actually win on the issue because so many people are worked up about it. Governor Kelly did essentially the same thing during her campaign by saying that she's going to give all these tax breaks, that she's going to, you know, clean up the thing. She's going to focus on this issue, but she wants to cut taxes here, cut taxes there. She's going to axe the tax, chase some people around the grocery store with a hatchet kind of thing. And she's still advocating for tax cuts right now. It's ironic to me that the only way Democrats can win is when they take a conservative approach on the issues and they don't fulfill it and actually follow through with it. But that's how they campaign themselves to actually get everybody riled up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's what we heard the whole time about her being the education governor. And now our kids can't read the bumper stickers that they slap on the back of the behind saying that they graduated. So we already know that she's not the education governor. We already know that she would not vote for those the pay raises that the Republicans were trying to give, $2,000 raises to teachers. She vetoed that tax bill a couple years ago. So, and she told her whole party to vote against it. We also know that she's not middle of the road as she campaigned on. She's over to the left side of the ditch, and she wants you to always come to her. There's no negotiation in good faith. No concession is good enough. It's her way or the highway, and that's not being in the middle of the road. Here's the problem that we have, Andy. Republicans get it. We understand the pain that everyday Kansans are going through. Down here in Cedric County, as a vice chair, we talk to tons of our doggone constituents that we have here, voters and members of the party, and they are of Social Security, drawing age. But here in the state of Kansas, because, you know, tax and spend Democrats just love to tax all of our constituents, even in their Social Security, what we moved in our tax plan to do is to phase out Social Security tax on that piece as well. So before, the bill that she vetoed, we got rid of it. We sent it straight to zero. She vetoed it, so now we had to come back with another offer. And our offer now is to begin phasing that out for the Kansans who live their whole lives here so they're not disincentivized to make Kansas their forever home. Yeah. Republicans get it. We're talking about making sure that we have a tax landscape that's not only friendly to business and incenting to bring more business and more jobs so that we have lower taxes across a broader volume and base, so that people don't feel the crushing pressure of it on their shoulders alone. But we're also looking to deliver right now, before we leave out of this session, tax relief on income tax, property tax, and Social Security. So that's something that I look forward to voting for, advocating for, and I know that it's something that the governor can sign. But right now, as you said, they are brain dead, they are tone deaf, and just pray that you know the Lord can open up their eyes to see how to help out Kansans instead of helping out their political campaigns.
Yeah, we got a lot of work to do on that. We're talking with State Representative Patrick Penn from here in the Wichita area. Got just a couple of minutes left here, but I want to talk about elections for just a moment, getting into that now that we've had our presidential preference primary and now that we're seeing election mode kind of kick in. You guys are on the tail end of your session, but Governor Kelly obviously focusing a lot of time on her middle of the road pact, where she's trying to essentially squeeze out some of the conservatives by putting in rhino Republicans, and I say that in air quotes, Republicans that are going to challenge them, I'm sure, in primaries to try and make things a little bit more soft or a little more purple or a little more left in the legislature moving forward. Is that a cause for concern going into election season? And do you think it's actually going to work? Or are we going to be able to hold on tight and be able to stop some of these from actually infiltrating the Republican Party?
Well, Andy, that's an excellent question. You know, I don't have the crystal ball on it, and I don't want anybody to hold me and my forecast to account should the unfortunate happen. Here's what I will tell you. Myself and the rest of the Republican caucus, as well as our affiliate organizations, as well as our county parties, we will be moving heaven and earth to make sure that we shore up any candidate that may be in trouble who is a good, strong conservative. Mm. We need people. Now, there are different I learned last election that there are different types of Republicans. Now, not everybody in my district, House 85, I can't really sell well up in Johnson County. They have a different brand and a different breed.
Yeah.
But they are always there with us on the big ticket items. I'm talking about like IDD list that we have for intellectually disabled, developmentally disabled folk and physically disabled folk. Under Laura Kelly, under her watch, that entire roster has just ballooned out to like 5,279 people still sitting on that wait list. And Republicans who vote along with, you know, the Republican caucus and Troy Waymaster, who's our appropriations chair, we have figured out a way to get that list down with Will Carpenter, the chair over there on the seniors committee, down by 500 in the House. And there's a plan to get it down by 200 in the Senate. All I know is it takes Republicans. It takes good, strong Republicans and conservatives to see that Kansans are hurting, that they're in need, and that Republicans have a plan. And we can get those people in to either vote for it, vote for the override, and that's what we're going to be working our behinds off to do. I yeah. personally commit to that both here in the party level in Sedgwick County, but also across the state. If I can be of any help, me, my family, we will lend our voices to make sure that we have those members coming back or make sure that we get some new members in to turn over a couple of seats. I think, Andy, to the point of your question, I think Laura Kelly is very afraid. Hence, they're going to try to seed and obfuscate and trick people with this whole middle of the road pack crap that they want to push out. These people are going to be doing the bidding of Laura Kelly and her allies, Planned Parenthood, the KNEA, all of the things that you hear that are detrimental to the life, well-being of Kansans and Kansas families and Kansas kids. That's who those middle of the road people are.
Yeah.
So I want everybody to check the tires, lift the hood, you know, kick the tires and make sure that the people that you're voting for, you know, ask all of us the tough questions. If you have nothing to hide, we're not going to hide and we're going to answer those questions. So I look forward to seeing that. And I'll meet anybody, anytime, anywhere to make sure that we get the right people back in that state house.
It's going to be a good one, man. I am excited about the elections. I'm optimistic about it. I obviously they're going tactfully about this by trying to pawn themselves off as Republicans in a quote unquote middle of the road pact. But I don't know if it's going to work because we have some solid conservatives, and where those solid conservatives are in their districts, the people see it, they love them, and they're supporting them. So I am optimistic about how this election is going to go. Patrick Penn, state representative here in the Wichita area. Always good to talk to you, my friend. Keep up the fight. Let's do it again soon, brother.
Let's get it, brother. Amen. Talk to y'all.
Hey, always good to talk to you there, State Representative Patrick Penn. Got to take a break. We got some calls on the line. We will get to you when we come back right around the corner. Oh, how the time flies right on by. It's Kansas Talk, Wichita's Big Talker, KQAM. Stay here. Welcome back into it. It is Kansas Talk. Last couple of minutes here on the program. We got just about a minute and a half, 2 minutes or so. So let's jump right to it and let's get back to the phones here, shall we? 316-721-8255. Line number one. Good morning. Who's this?
This is Ray.
Ray, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. Am I talking to the Millennial General?
The Millennial General. You got it right here, brother.
That doesn't get used much here locally, and it should be.
I appreciate that. There you go.
Well, I went to an AMAC meeting, and I got to listen to Jim Howell.
Yes.
And he is so knowledgeable about elections, and he talked to us about Kansas election integrity.
Yeah.
And we are in real good shape.
We are in good shape. There are some issues, and actually, it's funny you mentioned that because I actually was put in connection with another individual who actually has created software looking at voter integrity and voter rolls nationwide, and they can look at voter databases and all the states and compare things and look at addresses and look at so on and so forth. And there are some interesting blips to where I think we're in good shape in Kansas. We can always obviously do better, but we will be actually having him on the program soon and focusing on that issue.
Good, because he just knows everything about this stuff, and he's not afraid to answer questions. He doesn't back down from his stands. I really, he's not my district, but I really like the guy.
Yeah, he's a heck of a guy for sure. I'm so glad to have him on the Sedgwick County Commission.
I asked him about ballot harvesting.
Yes.
And he said that really wouldn't fly here in Kansas, mainly because back in the bigger states where there is corruption, you can do that kind of thing and it might help. But around here, there's really no point. I kind of thought that we could get out and help with ballot harvesting, but he said don't bother with it.
Yeah, so, there's really not a way to do much of that around here. And with some of the drop, now that the fact that we're getting rid of ballot drop boxes and that we have the certified drops or people that are mailing things in with the certification of signatures and address verification, we do very well on trying to verify at least you are who you are and that it's a legitimate ballot when you either drop it in a drop box or a mailbox or something like that. So it's a great point. Ray, I appreciate the phone call, my friend. We're out of time for hour number one here, but great stuff. I'm so glad you went to that meeting. So glad you were able to hear Jim Howell because he is an expert. We'll have him back on the show again soon. It's been a while since we've had Jim Howell on the show, so we'll have to do that. So, Ray, have a great weekend, brother. Always good to talk with you. We got some other callers on the line. Hang tight. Hour number two coming up right around the corner. It's Kansas Talk. KQAM. Stay here.
Truth. Unfiltered.
Broadcasting live from West Wichita in the KQAM studios. It's time for your weekend kickstart with Wichita's number one conservative talk radio host. This is Kansas Talk with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. What's up? Welcome into it. Hour number two of Kansas Talk, Wichita's Big Talker, KQAM. Also, our friends out in Garden City, KIUL. The Big Talkers going from one part of the state to the other. So great to have you along for the ride here. Great hour number one, and we got so much more to get to here in hour number two. Coming up bottom of this hour, we have a brand new guest on the program, Jason Nelson. He is with Prepper's Beef. Yeah. Get to talk about we'll talk about the cattle industry. We'll talk about the meat market. Obviously, there's a lot of price fluctuation right now, and the cattle market definitely interesting on if you do any of that trading or if you're a cattle farmer at all or if you're just someone that buys meat from the grocery store. I know, kind of wild, right? So we'll get to that coming up with Jason at the bottom of the hour. 316-721-8255 on the Maximum Outdoor Equipment Hotlines. Would love to hear from you, but I don't want to waste any time because we have so much to get to in this hour. As you know, Wichita's Big Talker KQAM coming up with a big event, and we are super excited about this. We are just weeks away, and limited tickets are available, so you need to get them now. But coming up on Thursday, April 11th, from 5 to 8 p.m., which means you have the opportunity to get off work and then come up and check it out, we have Todd Starnes, host of the Todd Starnes Radio Program, coming up for his book tour. But we're making it bigger than just a book tour event. We also have an election rally that we're partnering up with it as well. Our friends over at Americans for Prosperity, they're bringing in a great speaker. I'll be moderating. We'll have a panel discussion and a roundtable with Todd, their speaker, myself, and maybe one or two others as well. So it's going to be a big event. You're not going to want to miss this. We've been talking about it quite a bit. For more information, you can go to eventbrite.com and you can find the tickets. Just search KQAM Election Rally. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/1480KQAM and you can find the link right there. It's pinned at the top of the Facebook page. For the station, this is going to be a big event and you have the opportunity to have dinner, to listen to the speech, to do the meet and greet, and then you have the opportunity to purchase the book there as well from Todd Starnes, his latest book at Twilight's Last Gleaming. So don't miss this event. We'll start giving some tickets away here on KQAM soon as well, but don't miss that opportunity because they are going quickly and you don't want to miss out. But nonetheless, talking about that event, as you know, we sat down with Todd Starnes just a couple of days ago to talk about the official launching of his book that did officially come out this week as we sat down with him on the program to talk about some of these current events and why he wrote this book at this time. And this is what he had to say right here on Kansas Talk. Todd, how are you, my friend? It's good to talk to you.
Andy, it is so great to be hanging out with you and hope you're doing well.
Oh, always. It's always great. We're rocking and it's always good to see you. First and foremost, congrats on the book release. I've seen the pictures. I've seen what you're doing and what a huge response that you've gotten so far. This is so timely with the election season and We always say this, the importance of the election, but I think now or never, this is one of the most important elections that we could ever have.
Well, I think it is. And, it, you know, every now and again through American history, we've had these inflection points. And it's really a decision time. Where do we go as a nation? And I think this is certainly one of those moments coming up in November that will truly decide the course of history for our country. And so I wanted to write a book that would address those issues going into the election, but also wanted to write a book that would be a little fun and whimsical, too, a little satirical. And I think we've accomplished that. The early reviews, people are talking about the humor in the book. And that was really important for me to make sure that, you know, people came away knowing, yes, there is hope. Yes, America can be saved. And you can also chuckle a little bit at our current circumstances.
We have to do that. It gets so depressing at times watching the news, listening to the headlines. And obviously, you know, being on the radio and having to follow this as our job every day to listen to this garbage sometimes, that it gets depressing. It gets so heavy. So you have to come into this with a little bit of sarcasm and humor, or else I think we'd all go nuts by this point.
Yeah, you do. There's a great chapter of the book. We decided to tackle the whole transgender, you know, swimming NCAA stuff head on. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote a fake Associated Press news story set of the year 2050 when the first trans species swimmer was allowed to compete against the women. And this particular swimmer happens to be a dolphin named Flipper, who identifies as a human. And so we tell the story of how Flipper the dolphin obliterates every swimming record in humanity and was on its way to the championships until an unfortunate incident where Flipper exposed his blowhole in the locker room. So
we
try to have a little fun.
Well done. We have to. I love it. Todd, with the issues that we're seeing right now, and obviously this could change as we get closer to the election, but is that going to be one of the hot topics and the main focal points for voters and their priorities, do you think? What is going to be that main issue, according to some of the political or the at least the presidential preference primaries that we're seeing right now, immigration is still one of those major issues. But I think the social issues, the trans issue, the schools that are abusing our kids by forcing on this hormonal treatments or sex changes or whatever they're trying to do now, or the girls' bathrooms and locker rooms. I don't know how we got to this point, but I'm curious on how big of an issue you think it's going to be in the general election.
I don't think it's going to be an issue. And I say that based on what happened in Ohio when you had the Trump-backed candidate in the U.S. Senate win over 51% of the vote, Bernie Moreno, born in Bogota, Colombia, just an amazing American dream success story, immigrant coming to America and making good. But what I find interesting about him, he identifies himself as a right-wing populist. And while he is super conservative on a lot of the key issues that you and I would be conservative on, there are some culture war issues, especially when it comes to the LGBT movement, where he is more of a, you would say, liberal. So, and I think we've certainly seen that with some of President Trump's policies. I think the argument could be made President Trump is the most pro-LGBT president in modern American history, even more so than Barack Obama. Yeah. But I think to answer your question, these three issues are going to drive voters to the polls. Number one is immigration. Number two, I believe, is the economy. And number three is crime. And I think that's a triple whammy against the Democrats. And I think we're going to be seeing a massive groundswell of support building, especially in minority communities that are being especially impacted by all three of those issues.
Yeah, I completely agree. And like you said, they're not going to be able to get away from them. The Biden administration's trying to cover their kind of CYA, if you know what I mean, when it comes to immigration, saying that if Republicans would just pass the bill that they tried just a few weeks ago or a month or so ago, that all of a sudden we'd have the authority to shut down the southern border. And the Laken Riley issue, it's just because of a lack of passing bills from Congress to actually enforce immigration problems. While they get mad that the Supreme Court's allowing Texas to stop and arrest illegal migrants coming across the border into the state of Texas. So I don't know how that's a winning argument for them, and I think they're starting to recognize that.
Yes, but and again, the Democrats, there's nothing they can do. They've already sold out to the AOC wing of the party, so that they are stuck with their positions on those issues.
Yeah.
And when you look at the numbers of Americans that are being killed on American soil by illegals, that is something that truly resonates. When you've got people on Chicago's South Side who can no longer go down to the community center because it's housing illegals, those folks get the issue. So, you know, again, I write about this in the book, and the name Twilight's Last Gleaming actually came from a speech Ronald Reagan delivered. And he made an interesting observation. He said, our national anthem does not start with a declaration, like, you know, we are the best nation on the face of the earth. Mm. It starts with a question. Is the flag still there? Can you still see the flag? And it's this idea that every generation has to fight for freedom. There's no guarantee here, right? Reagan went on to say in another speech that freedom is not passed along in the bloodstream. Every generation has to fight for freedom. And so that really is sort of the narrative of the book. Are we going to fight for freedom? Is our generation going to stick it and fight?
I love that. Yeah, we're talking with Todd Starnes, nationally syndicated radio host and author of the new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved?, which you can find online at toddstarnes.com, also on Amazon. To go along with that, on whether we're going to fight for it, whether we can still see the flag being raised and whether we still know that we're still an American nation and still live by those American principles, you mentioned nationalism a little bit ago. Apparently that term's been deemed as bad. Now, if you're a nationalist, then you're like some Nazi or some type of right-wing nut or however they try to classify it. But and I've actually talked about this issue filling in for your program when I've gotten the honor to do that a few times, of this new term of Christian nationalism, and it, that really rose when Mike Johnson became speaker. But now Christian nationalism is the new threat that the left is trying to spread during the election season. And Todd, I don't quite know what Christian nationalism is or why it's bad.
Yeah, that's a head scratcher for me, Andy. I remember in the early days of the country where on election day, every person would go to church, hear a sermon, and then they would cast their ballot. So it seems to be that when you look at the actual intent of the pilgrims coming to America, the intent of the founding fathers who were very well-educated men who wrote our founding documents, all of them are flavored with Judeo-Christian teachings, which is one of the reasons I believe the Democrats hate Jews and Christians. They give Muslims and atheists a pass, but they're coming after us. Yeah. And the reason why is because they have this idea, this concept that they are God, that we bow down to them, not to the Almighty. And I write about this in the book. I coined the phrase woke evangelicals to describe these people who are now embracing all of this liberalism.
It's a wild time to be alive because they try to say that just because we have a Christian foundation or a Christian belief that therefore we're imposing it onto others, which I don't know how you can get away from your own personal beliefs that influence your stance on certain political or economic or social issues if you're an elected official. But just because you have that belief doesn't mean that you're imposing it on anyone. That just means that that's how you take your issues based on your interpretation.
Well, you know who they're not calling Christian nationalists? That would be all of the black churches that are turned into literal political arenas during election time, where they're literally campaigning from the pulpits. You don't see the atheist group going after their IRS tax-exempt status, and you don't see these commentators accusing people like the Reverend Jesse Jackson of being a Christian nationalist.
Yeah, that is very true. We got just a couple of minutes left here. It's Todd Starnes, nationally syndicated radio host and author of his latest book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? Speaking of the minority populations, the Hispanic populations, the black populations, Native American or Asian or whatever flavor or color that they want to look at with their identity politics, are Democrats losing these voters? Because I hear, at least, that the Hispanics are upset about the immigration issue and the cartels flooding into the country. I hear about the black communities upset about the migrants that are getting all the social programs now in the inner cities right now. We hear about the Asian population not being allowed to go to college because they're dominating the affirmative action thing. Are they losing their own voters based on their own policies? And do you think that Donald Trump's going to have a chance to win these individuals over?
Yes, they are. And yes, I do think that he is going to, and especially among minority men. And this has been a demographic that has just really been put upon just men in general. This idea that you can't be a man. And if you are, then that makes you somehow toxic. I have a chapter in the book, Mommy, Why Is Daddy Wearing Spanx, that really talks about these crazy issues. And so I do think that you are going to see a groundswell of minority voter support for President Trump, and especially watch male voters and see what that demographic turns out at the ballot box. If they turn out in big numbers, Trump wins in a massive landslide. I truly believe it.
I completely agree with you, and I'm excited to see what this election's going to hold. They're going to pull any shenanigan that they can going further into the election season, but it's going to be a fun one to watch for sure. It is Twilight's Last Gleaming. Check it out. Can America Be Saved? You can find it online, toddstarns.com. Also, here in the Wichita area for all my friends on Thursday, April 11th, excited to have Todd Starnes here in town doing his program from these studios and then joining us for the book signing and for the meet and greet and all the other fun shenanigans and malarkey, as Joe Biden would say, right here in town. Todd, you're a great friend. I appreciate it. Congratulations on the book. I'm excited to get you in town here soon.
And Andy, I appreciate that. And I'll say this real quick. If things do go south in November, at least we'll have something funny to read on the way to the gulags.
Oh, see, that is true. We will be prepared. No matter what, we will be entertained one way or the other.
Looking forward. Hey, do you guys have good beef in Wichita?
We have fantastic beef. You are surrounded by cattle country, my friend, so you're going to get plenty of steak and delicious meat here as much as you want.
You had me at cow. Very good.
I love it. Todd Starnes, we appreciate it, my friend. We'll talk again real soon.
Thanks, Andy.
All right, Todd Starnes, the nationally syndicated radio host of the Todd Starnes Radio Show and author of the latest book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. Again, coming up with the book tour on Thursday, April 11th here in the Wichita area. And you don't want to miss this. It'll be the meet and greet. It'll be a dinner. It will be the book signing. It will also be a panel discussion with him, another great speaker from Americans for Prosperity, who is partnering with us on this event. They're going to help and get everybody out. So come out to this event. Let's get excited. I know that the presidential preference primaries are over in Kansas, but now we get to focus on the primary elections and how we can get pumped up and ready to go for election season that's starting right now, because it's coming hot and heavy. So you don't want to miss this one. Find more information on the Facebook page, facebook.com/1480KQAM. If you don't use Facebook, then you can go to the website eventbrite.com and search KQAM Election Rally, or you can call us here at the studio in the main office, and I'll give you that office number, which you can purchase tickets that way as well, at 316-721-8484. 316-721-8484. Now, the office closed until Monday, so wait until Monday and make that phone call, and then we can get you all set up. Got to take a break. Lots more coming up right around the corner. It is Kansas Talk right here on Wichita's Big Talker, KQAM. We got more to talk about: meat prices, elections, and a heck of a lot more all coming up around the corner. Stay here.
You're bundled up now, wait till you get older. But the media man beg to differ, judging by the hole in the satellite picture. The ice we skate is getting pretty thin. The water's getting warm, so you might.
Welcome back into it. It is Kansas Talk right here, Wichita's Big Talker, KQAM. So great to have you with us on a Saturday morning, as always. We love having you along for the ride. 316-721-8255 on the Maximum Outdoor Equipment Hotlines. I want to tell you about our friends over at Napoleon Appliance Repair. They've been a rock star partnership. We love them to death here on the KQAM airwaves and right here on Kansas Talk. We are now going into the warmer seasons, and it seems to be, for whatever reason, not quite sure why, but it seems to be a trend that when it gets warmer like this, then our appliances like to start acting up. I don't know why, but obviously you're going to start using your air conditioner relatively soon. Get that taken care of, or at least checked and tuned up for the season, along with all your other appliances. Don't let them get out of date. Don't let them fall apart. If they do fall apart, you know who to call, but you can also call them for the preventative maintenance as well. But Napoleon Appliance Repair, they've been voted best of in the city of Wichita 2 years running now, which is absolutely amazing from the Wichita Eagles. So congratulations, guys, and you do one heck of a job. But you can give them a call. Don't miss them out. 316-409-1525, 316-409-1525. Also follow them on their Facebook to make sure you can see what they're doing, and reach out if you need to as well at Napoleon Appliance Repair LLC, Napoleon Appliance Repair LLC. Years of experience, and they will keep you on the up and up. Make sure that you are running smoothly with all your appliances. By the way, just a little shout out to our sister station as well, Wichita Sports Station, KGSO, and that's here in Wichita for our friends out in Garden City. You also have a sister station, KYUL, 1310 on the AM dial out there. We are airing all of the March Madness basketball tournament shenanigans. It's been going on for the last few days. The programming for that, the games begin at 11 o'clock. So right after this program, you can flip over to KGSO and KYUL out in Garden City, and you can tune in and listen to all the basketball tournament stuff. It's amazing. I do have my bracket. Now, for those that don't know me, I am not much of a sports guy. And for the little sports that I actually follow, I pay attention to basketball the least out of any of them. It's just, it's not my thing. Some people absolutely love it, but I don't follow it. I do, however, fill out a March Madness bracket, which we had a great KQAM, KGSO, and Hank FM bracket challenge this year, and it's hanging up in the studio right here with me, and I'm following it and actually not doing too bad. These guys think that they're just going to walk all over me because I don't pay attention to it, but just based on my decision on the colors of their jerseys and the designs of what they look like, I think that they're doing pretty good. I'm pretty happy with it. So yeah, I'm pretty excited because my bracket's doing all right. Hopefully yours is as well. But we got to give a shout out to all of our great partners that worked with us on our bracket tournament shenanigans, because it's a great promotion that we do every single year, including Trailers and More, Toppers Plus, Ray Roofing, Athena Jewelry, Heartland Bicycle, Midwest Kia, Hog Wild at Pit Barbecue here in the Wichita area, Continental Truck Accessories, Mr. B's Daylight Donuts, Oliver Sports, Auburn Wine and Spirits, Moneytown Pawn, Yoder Meats, Davis Liquor Outlet, Amore Italian Restaurant, and Burwell Construction. All those great partners helped us out with our big station bracket here in the Wichita area, and it's always fun to do. So I have my bracket. Hopefully you got yours as well, and we'll continue to follow those games as they go on. But if you want to listen to any of those broadcasts, we have literally 12 hours of broadcasts of basketball games starting at 11 o'clock over on our sister stations, KGSO, and out in Garden City on KYUL. So you can tune into all the action right there. Good stuff. All right, when we come back, we're going to shift gears. Jason Nelson will be joining us. We'll talk about meat prices, the agricultural industry, and you as the consumer, are you ready for potentially higher beef prices? That might make your face hurt a little bit, so we'll cover some of that and more right around the corner. It's Candace Talk, Wichita's Big Talker, KQAM on a Saturday morning. Get you up and moving. Stay right here.
The show at 316-721-8255. This is Kansas Talk with Andy Hoosier on Wichita's Big Talker, KQAM.
Welcome back into the program. Always great to have you along for the ride. Really happy to have our next guest on the program. As you know, being in the middle of cattle country, being the heart of the nation, the flyover country that we're in here in Kansas, cattle is obviously a big industry. And what are we doing with our prices? Are you going to the grocery store and seeing the steak prices right now and the ground beef prices as things continue to rise? And all it's on top of, by the way, the 30% inflation that we're seeing from the Biden administration over the past 3 years that has made food ridiculously expensive. But the meat industry is definitely under assault right now, and it's very fascinating to watch. Talk about some of that and more. Really happy to have on the program, he is the CEO of Prepper All Naturals, which you can find online as well at prepperbeef.com, talking about the beef market and what we can do to try and keep those prices low and prepare for whatever may come coming down the road. It's Jason Nelson on the line with us here. Jason, how are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing as well as a person can with the knowledge that I have in my head. How are you doing?
Likewise. It makes your brain hurt a little bit sometimes when you want to try and get this information out, and it falls on deaf ears in many cases for some individuals, and they just don't understand what's going on in the world today. It's definitely a wild time right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think you bring up an interesting point, though. It's that it's only when they see the symptoms that they start to recognize there might be a disease, and so you are beating people over the head with information and hoping they understand what you're trying to convey to them. But I think that at least at the end user, the consumer level at this point right now, people are starting to see lower quality for higher prices. And as you pointed out, including inflation, it's reached untenable level. People are seeking out alternative animal proteins, or they're going without. This is this is not good. We're sort of in a perfect storm right now, and it's not a good place to be.
Yeah, it really is. And the question is that storm intentional, which we can go down that road if we want to, but I don't know. I think they're trying to push us to eat more of those bugs or something, right?
You're not wrong, though. You're not wrong. You got to remember, when you look at what they're doing in Europe, when you're looking at how they're regulating out farmers, and which, by the way, has nothing to do with the environment. If people really cared about the environment, they'd tell China that they can't continually double their carbon output every decade for the next, endless time, right? They're the largest polluter on Earth. We have lab-grown meat, we could argue about Texas cattle versus flyover cattle any day you want, but I'm going to sit here and say versus Kansas, I'm going to always take Texas' side. But either way, I'll take your side when it comes to regulations aren't even being put in place, because beef comes from a pasture, not a petri dish.
Yeah.
And yet in New York State, they can now feed you lab-grown meat and not they're not required to tell you to disclose that. It's going to end up on grocery shelves without anyone knowing what it is. Think about saying that. That's horrible.
Yeah, that's a scary thought. And now, they're talking about putting, vaccines into certain meats and proteins and vegetables and stuff as well. So it's a crazy time that we're living right now. Talking specifically about the meat industry, like you mentioned, and the beef, I know that you guys obviously follow the beef industry very closely with what you do, but the prices continue to rise right now. And living in cattle country here, in Kansas, we're seeing the prices go up. We talk to a lot of the livestock shows and the auction shows, and they're constantly busy. We've gone through the severe drought over the past few years. We have farmers that continue to sell off more of their cattle herds than what they usually do, which is maybe artificially keeping prices somewhat reasonable right now. But, Jason, how long is that going to last when we see the herds down dramatically in size compared to what they usually are for the future, when we're out of meat and we can't sell any more off without killing off the entire herd?
Right. So we're at a 71-year low on domestic cattle right now, right? We have decreased our exports by something like 37% year over year. We've increased our imports, our totals, but it's not even close to what we are. Our overall beef consumption is down. It's starting to drop, but the demand, as you pointed out, is still very high, which with a limited supply is only going to continue to drive that price up. Basic economics, right? But the question is, what happens in the future? Well, you're talking about what about our feeder stock, right? Well, what about our grain as well? And I think, a lot of these ranchers who are selling out, I'm wondering if they're not just seeing what's coming, because we know we've lost 123 processors in nationwide in the last year.
Wow.
123. That's insane. When you think about, that's Texas-wide. I just said nationwide. Texas-wide, we've lost 123 local processors. And you know how important, the kind of the backbone of the industry. It's what allows a lot of medium and small-time producers to be able to get their product from farm to table. So across the board, but when you talk about grain prices, with the war in Ukraine, followed up by the fact that, as you saw last couple weeks, India announced that their rice exports were going to be decreasing dramatically. By the way, not because they don't have rice, but because they can't afford the fuel to ship it. And that has this absolutely a resounding butterfly effect, that just goes through and impacts all markets. And it's sort of this undulating wave that continues to go around the world, and it's amplifying. And these effects are going to become outsized very soon. And that's why maybe the bug protein and all of those things, that's why they're pushing towards it. They're creating this problem so that they can have this solution for you, which is, I guess, going to be injected bugs or something. That's their plan. But this all feels very artificial. It feels very forced. Bad environmental policy, bad EPA policy, bad trade policy, bad foreign policy. All of these things have added up to create sort of this, again, perfect storm where you're going to see beef prices probably rise. If I had to put a number on it, I would say almost 100% increase this time next year.
Wow, you think it's going to be that much just from this perfect storm that we're in right now?
Yes, because I mean, think about ground beef and other things like that. Again, you might not see it on some of your primals, right? Just because of how they, but what will happen is people are going to start pushing to the type of stock that you need to turn into hamburger.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a 70-30 split, and it's going to be running out there for $8 a pound.
That's insane. That blows my mind. That's scary. It's a scary thought to think that it's going to go that far. Let's talk about some of these factors, because you laid a lot down there, and there's so many directions that we can go with this. Let's talk first about the environmental push. I know that they always say that cows are obviously releasing all this methane. They're bad for the environment. We're now seeing this enviral push in the agricultural industry itself, where we're looking at biofuels for the airplanes, and you're not allowed to put dust in the air if you have a tractor out in the field, and that you can't use certain pesticides now. And it's crazy how we're trying to regulate the ag industry so much, on top of the ongoing drought conditions that many have seen, which is why they're selling off so many of the cattle. But how much of this is going to be an impact on the availability for cattle ranchers to actually hold the cattle, and then for the industry as a whole to actually process them?
Well, again, so the environmental policy, cow farts, right? You know, they say that the bison herds, based on the evidence they have, bison herds would have been seen from space. You could see them from space had we been, able to see from space in the 1600s. I didn't know of any mass, global heating, warming, or anything like that that happened during those eras. So this is a red herring. This is just them trying to find another way to control people, another way to control what they consume, another way to control parts of their lives. The guy who owns Facebook, Zuckerberg, Mark
yeah.
Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
You know, he owns an entire herd that he up in, I believe it's Montana, and he only feeds them macadamia nuts.
Mm.
So obviously this is not an environmental issue. This is more about a control issue. And so where I see it going, all of the policies point to it. The EPA has done everything they can to regulate every bit of water. And we know that's the lifeblood. We know that BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, has done everything they can to remove grazing rights, and to restrict movement. They're just slowly chipping away at a lot of what, was very beneficial. Obviously, it's not the same as giving a subsidy to a rancher to do that. It's we're talking about open federal land, and we're talking about water collected that rains.
Yeah.
But then you start getting into the larger environmental policies, where again, even something as just restricting future oil exploration drives up the cost of so many goods, and it impacts across the board. Energy makes up about 50% of the cost of every product by the end consumption. So when you see a rise in energy costs, that's where you see a lot of your artificial inflation come from. And because this is driven by environmental policy that is not aligned with what the standards that are, what we actually do, what the oil industry does and other things like the fossil fuel industry, all of this is just mumbo jumbo, and it all just feels like a control mechanism. And you might say that's a conspiracy theory. But the difference between a conspiracy theory and a fact is usually about 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it definitely is the agenda of what they're trying to do. And we see that they're very open about it. They don't want us to be consuming meat like this, or at least the meat that we have that has been healthy because of actual cows and steak and actually being allowed to eat what we want to. We're talking with Jason Nelson. He's with PrepperBeef.com, PrepperBeef.com, the CEO of Preppers All Naturals. You mentioned not only just the land and the water and the control, but let's talk about the space that we have to actually hold a lot of these cattle and some of these cattle ranches, because agricultural land itself in the nation is decreasing right now, isn't it? Not only for cattle, but for grains and for the fields to grow the grains and everything, because of the expansion of the cities and the generations. The average farmer, I guess the average age for a farmer, at least in Kansas, I'm assuming this is nationwide as well, is like in their low 60s or upper 70s. So we're seeing the farming industry as well begin to age out, the young generation having a hard time actually getting into this industry, and then the land's disappearing at the same time. Like you said, it's kind of a perfect storm of everything lining up all right now.
It is. We've not done enough to protect our agricultural industry, quite literally our breadbasket. And, you ask it's that little viral video that went around with the girl all upset about people who were hunting, and she said, "Why don't you just go buy your your hamburger in a store? And why do you have to hurt an animal?" She was saying it because she thought, where does that come from?
Yeah.
Lady, you don't, oh my goodness. So, we need to understand a lot of what, the ancillary, I spent, 20 years in the military, 8 years in the Marine Corps, 12 years in Army Special Operations, but my job in civil affairs was to analyze complex problems and create simple solutions, sustainable solutions, primarily to mitigate human suffering in kinetic, during kinetic activity. But the point is that when you do an analysis of this and you say, hey, what are we driving towards? What are we doing when we are taking away land, when we're shaving it? All of these second and third order effects are, as you pointed out, just continually shrinking the available land. Let's use an example right next door to us. Here in Crawford, they're putting in a 1,500-home subdivision, each with their own well. The land is bordered by two massive cattle ranches that provide 16,000 head a year. Mm. They have to drop 6,000 head a year combined in order to accommodate the loss of water they're going to have from those 1,500 homes.
Wow.
That's 6,000 head per year gone. They can't even put them out there. And when you think about that loss, and you think about how it's being, it's happening in so many different communities, and you add, add this all together, and you go, my goodness, what are we supposed to do when you can't grow grain, when you don't, when you made the assumption that water, we need to protect salmon and wild salmon instead of, producing food that we actually eat and that keeps us alive. And that gives us quality of life, quite frankly, that has made the United States the greatest country on earth for a reason.
Yeah.
And now we are just shooting ourselves in the foot for no reason.
It is unfortunate. And right now, at least for the time being, we'll see if that changes anytime soon. But right now, when it comes to global exports, we still have the best meat on the global market, don't we? I mean, every nation, when they want beef, when they want actual meat, they still come here to the United States primarily because we dominate that industry for the time being. But the question is, how long is that actually going to last?
Yeah, I mean, we have a siloed food supply chain within our company, and I cannot tell you how we are begged to ship our products internationally, which we can do because, we drop 3/4 of the weight. And obviously, we have this long-term strategy where we want to help combat not only price fluctuations, but global hunger. But we're here right now. We're feeding Americans, and we're helping Americans get prepared. But the demand for Texas bred cattle, where people like we do, where we monitor it and to make sure it's not injected, it doesn't have any GMO, all of the things that people want their cows to be treated, like regenerative farming.
Yeah.
We monitor and make sure that happens, and it is in such high demand that I'm not kidding when I say that we are offered triple the price if we would just ship it immediately, and we turn down all the time. And that's because the demand for American beef is, we do produce the best cows on earth.
Yeah, it is amazing. Let's talk about what you guys do. We're talking with Jason Nelson with Prepper All Naturals. You can find him online at prepperbeef.com. Obviously, like you said, it's time to stock up a little bit and be concerned of what could potentially come with the prices of beef and the prices, or at least even the availability of some of this. But what you guys do is amazing because it's allowing to get that high quality beef, but being able to stockpile it and stash it up just a little bit. So talk about what you guys do.
We started our company, like I said, I came from civil affairs. So when I retired, I wanted to find a unique problem and create a solution for it. Obviously, shelf-stable animal proteins, when I say shelf-stable, I mean for up to 25 years, is not a thing that really exists. When you look out on the market, you can get your taco-flavored beef crumbles. Or, by the way, I've slaughtered over 1,500 cows in the last year, and I've still yet to find a single beef crumble, so I don't know what that is. But when you think about what survival food is, our grandparents, they used to store up food, and they would just call it getting ready for winter, and it would be nice preserves and other things and pickled meats, and we don't do that anymore. So what we wanted to do was create a product that was something that you would actually eat. So we have we have this wonderful supply chain of good, clean Texas cattle, but it's hand slaughtered humanely down in Lot, Texas. It's hand carved. You can't freeze dry fat. So we separated out. We're the only company on earth that does tenderloin, that's filet, you know, your New York strip, your ribeye, and obviously our original steak, which is like your sirloin and your tri-tip and your brisket. But we sous vide it, which is a French style of cooking, and it's pasteurized and then freeze-dried. There's nothing added to it. There's no additives at all, zero salts, anything. Once you rehydrate it, you can just add it right to any meal. Wow. We have so many of our customers who actually use this as a regular staple of their diet right now, and we're very proud of that. We're proud of sort of it's a complete paradigm shift in what people think of when they think of freeze-dried food, especially when they think of freeze-dried animal proteins, and a clean source of healthy beef. It's tender, juicy. Again, just real proud of it. And whether people, whatever they're doing, what we want people to understand is we're not preaching doom and gloom. We're just talking about, again, what are you going to do if you had to go without electricity? Most people have about 5 days worth of food in their home. And we want your families to be able to thrive in an environment instead of sitting here and hunkering down and eating SpaghettiOs out of a can for months on end.
Yeah, well, you're right. And like I said, I mean, with a lot of the freeze-dried and quote-unquote prepper services that are out there, very few of them are actually based on meat, because most of them are the dried fruits and vegetables and stuff, which are important and you need that. But at the same time, it's hard to get actual meat that can last like that. At the same time, then adding on top of it the fact that it's not just full of crazy preservatives and a whole bunch of garbage in there that's not healthy for you, when you guys are getting these prime pieces of cut and actually doing it the proper way with freeze-drying it this way. It's amazing. So you still get the nutrition and the value and the health of it. And a lot of people are unable to do that. So you guys are doing something very unique and special here. And that's amazing.
I appreciate that. Yeah. More importantly, you also get the texture, because, you know, it's actual piece of steak as opposed to whatever they're grinding up somewhere. So, yeah. Thank you. And you know, the most important thing to us is that we created this company as a solution to a problem, and we believe that it's an existing problem that maybe many people just aren't seeing the full picture on. But it doesn't take a lot to take macro view and that step back and look at all the factors and say it's very obvious they don't want you eating beef anymore.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do if you want to have beef 5 years from now?
It's the beauty of the free market, which is what you guys are doing. There's a need. There's a demand. And you guys are filling that void for the demand, which is definitely needed for sure. It is prepperbeef.com. Go and check it out. You can see all the great specials, all the great stuff. It's making my mouth water just looking at all the pictures you have on here. So I can't wait to try it myself as well. Jason, we appreciate the time very much, my friend. We got to get you back on and chat again real soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
There it is, Jason Nelson. Interesting conversation, especially with the scare about what's happening with the beef prices, cattle industry, the attack from the Enviro nuts, about how bad it is for you eating meat and raising those cattle. We're out of time, my friends. Back at it again next Saturday. Until then, tune into our syndicated show coming up later on this weekend, and The Voice Reason at 4 p.m. on Monday, and Candace Conk, of course, next Saturday at 9 a.m. Until then, have a great weekend. We'll see you. Bye.